0818-715-815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RT.ie, Michael O'Sullivan contacted us separately to Brendan Colvert, separately to Anne Kelly, but they all are coming up with the same idea. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're in Cork. Now, you lived in a trailer park in the States. Would you describe what a trailer park is and what it's like living in one?
Okay, no problem. In the 70s, I was in the USA, Philadelphia, you know, J-1 visa, student visa. And my cousin was going to Temple University, and he lived in Ardmore, that's in West Philly, big massive trailer park. And it seemed to be all students. And the way they work was, there was a notice board, you see trailers for sale.
Okay.
You pick one, you buy one, you go down, you live in it, and then you paid rent and a small bit of money for water and services. And I just double-checked with the cousin, and he set me on something interesting. There's 16 million Americans live permanently, that's the key phrase,
wow,
permanently in trailer parks.
By choice,
the whole USA.
By choice, Michael.
By choice, yeah, because it's a very cheap way to live.
Okay, well, you tell me, you lived in one, you tell me what it's like.
Oh, it was fine. It was, you get the L out, it's an elevated train, you get off, you walk about half a mile, you were there. Now, there were in the 70s, they were still strict. You had to show ID going in. There was no messers allowed in, you know.
Okay.
And you lived in a three-bedroom trailer. I was working security 50 hours a week. I had plenty of money because the rent was cheap, you know. All the students do it there for 3 or 4 years while they're in college, and then they usually sell on the trailer to somebody else and move away. You don't own the ground. You're only renting the pitch, you know.
And what are the facilities like?
Facilities in our trailer was, okay, you have a choice. You can pay the A classification where they hook you up to water and power and all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I was in, the student one, they were hooked up to the power and they had a chemical toilet. It was a bit awkward because you had to kind of, you know, wheel it, this kind of a wheelie thing and all that. But it was dirt cheap, like. But if you wanted to pay the bit extra, you had the same as you get anywhere in Ireland. And Ireland is full of seasonal mobile home parks, but you have to get out for 6 months of the year, 5 or 6 months, and you get the same facilities in America.
In fairness, they've all just reopened on Patrick's weekend. That's when they reopen, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
they were closed for 5 months in the winter,
yeah.
And I mean, I gave it up because, you know, it was no use to me. In the winter, I wanted to go down the seaside. I couldn't, you know, so I gave it up.
Yeah, but is that not a hint that the weather in the States is very different to the weather here?
Well, the funny thing about it is that my cousin's ex-girlfriend is now living in Nome in Alaska, and she's living in a trailer home. I mean, it's like modern housing in America is basically timber and cladding, you know? They don't use blocks like we do, so they use massive insulation. All they've done is brought that insulation into the trailer parks.
Okay, now, I've looked up this, the grant that people can now get if they give their home. It's 800 euro a month. By the way, it's 800 euro a month, but the granting authority, i.e. the government, are willing to look at additional costs if you have additional costs. Now, they say it must be available for at least 6 months. Now, I don't know if you looked them up. Do they eliminate mobile homes from, if I said I'd give my mobile home in Wexford, wherever people have them, I'd give it for 800 quid a month for 6 months. That's 4.5 grand. I don't know what the management fees are now in mobile homes. Remember, mobile homes don't pay property tax. They're exempt. They pay a management fee, but that covers your water, your refuse, and on a lot of occasions, it covers your electricity as well. So 800 quid a month for your mobile home in Wexford, especially given the weather's now, and it is the sunny southeast, given that the weather's improving, children, some incredible schools in Wexford, especially around Gowrie, Tara Hill, those areas. I'm just wondering, would they accept a mobile home as an offer for housing Ukrainian refugees?
Well, I wasn't even thinking of Ukrainian refugees, and truthfully, I wasn't even thinking of the present housing emergency in Ireland. I was looking at a very tight little strata of people which has worked for 30 or 40 years, plus to take care of, let's say, students, people doing apprenticeships, people going to technical schools and everything. The young generation in their late teens, early 20s, that needs summer cheap until they get on their feet in a job and settled, you know?
Okay, and they now, say the main thing in the, if you look up gov.ie, housing standard for accommodation recognition payment scheme, which is a scheme, 800 quid a month, administered by the Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth. They talk about structural conditions. Now, the main thing they talk about is safety. And there's one thing you can say about mobile homes, Michael, and trailers. They are safe because you can get out. One, they're all on the ground level. So there isn't far to, if you get out a window, anyone can get out. Your granny or granddad can get out the window, God forbid. Two, they usually have a main door, a double door, because they open onto a deck or whatever. So the chances of getting out of them quickly are very much better than a house, much better than a house. Yeah. Now they do say, and this is where a good state of repair, which most mobile homes are beautiful, beautifully kept.
I agree.
Roof, windows, floor, ceilings, bear with me, floor, ceilings, walls, stairs. Well, there's no stairs in the bungalow either. Doors, fascia, tiles, gutter, downpipes, fittings, furnishings, gardens are common areas, maintained in good condition and repair. I think you can say that about any trailer park in Ireland. The common areas are really well kept, really well kept. Where a window has an opening section, Michael, where through which a person may fall, and the bottom of the opening section is more than 1,400 millimetres above external ground level. Sure, most mobile homes are three steps away from the ground, aren't they?
But if I could just say, Joe, I mean, while I was talking to Clara, your researcher, and I was only talking about my American experience, I checked on our nearest neighbour, the English.
Okay.
And at the moment, according to the British government thing, there's 300,000 people live in permanent mobile parks, they call them, right? Now, the key in England is they changed all their legislation in 2013 and they made it ultra strict. And it's all to do with fit person. I mean, to get into a mobile home park in England, you have to have no criminal record. You have to be checked out. No civil thing. You know, very, very strict. The whole idea is that they're oasis of kind of peace and quiet for people.
Yeah,
they do focus on the over 55s, you know, I will admit that. But what I then went and checked on the Irish legislation. Now, they have created an encyclopedia of information and documentation, the whole lot. And I was just looking, zero on mobile homes, zero on this. But I will say, lately now, they ran roughshod through all the legislation and they eliminated environmental guidelines, environmental restrictions, and they're building modular homes. Now, the reason I know this is that I'm living here in Blackrock and just down the road in Mahon, lovely neighbourhood, at the back of an old industrial site, they're putting in about 60 modular houses, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, there's a bit of security around there, but you might let me have a look around. Lovely, lovely. But, I mean, the minimum cost for one of them is about 140,000. I can buy half a dozen trailers down the road here, second-hand, between 4,000 and 5,000, you know?
Okay, I'm just wondering, has anyone applied to offer a mobile home to the state for €800 a month? They also say adequate cooking facilities, including an oven. Well, an oven these days, well, a lot of them have ovens, but an oven these days is your air fryer, isn't it? That's an oven.
Perfect.
They're very
big,
yes. Suitable facilities for the effective and safe removal of fumes. That's straightforward. There's about 15 windows in a mobile home. A fridge or a fridge freezer, that's a given. A sink, that's a given, isn't it?
I mean, I lived in them quite happily for 6 months and I had everything I needed there.
Okay.
Perfect, nice and warm, cooking facilities.
And Kelly, stay there. Joe at rt.ie, 51551. Have you offered your mobile home to the state for 800 quid enough? Tell us, Anne Kelly, you say you're baffled that no one has come up with the idea. Well, yourself, Brendan, who's next, and Michael, contacted Joe at rt.ie and you have come up with the idea. Tell us. You like the idea.
Good afternoon, Joe. Yes, well, last May I was lucky enough to be invited down to a mobile home complex in the sunny southeast. Now, it was my first time staying in a mobile home. And to be quite frank with you, I was shocked. It was three bedrooms, one bedroom a double, two bedrooms that were twin bedded, an ensuite, a bathroom, a kitchen come dining area, and a sitting room area. Outside there was a decking area, a small garden, space for an outdoor garden shed for storage, and car parking facilities.
Okay, great.
And
was that your first?
It had gas, was central heating, great. Wi-Fi. It had everything you could wish for in, we'll say, a regular home. And I inquired. It was also very well laid out. It was like streets of bungalows, if you can imagine that. Because of course they're all just one story high. Gardens are all well maintained. They had a play area for children, all that sort of thing. And the cost of I said that I would very happily live in one of those, because it was, he had more than adequate space, everything built in, they come complete, and the approximate cost of a new one is €60,000.
Okay, that's how good
and
they are.
What
yeah.
I felt was that.
And how much per year to pay to keep them there?
The
water
management
and electricity.
Fee per annum is €3,300. Okay. Which works out at approximately €65 a week.
But that covers your
€300.
Does that cover your water, your electricity, your the grass being cut in the communal area,
your
whole, rubbish,
the maintenance of the whole complex?
Great.
Now I appreciate these are a tourist thing, so they actually close after the October bank holiday weekend. So they're closed November, December, January, February. And you can only use it again from March. But that's
why,
because it's a holiday setup.
Yeah, I just wonder why. Okay, say what it's Joe at rte.ie, 51551, and at 2 o'clock we were bringing you the results. I'm going to come back to you, and I'm going to come back to you after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
We will go to Murrayfield, not for rugby, for the announcement of the who will effectively be the new First Minister in Scotland, the new leader of the Scottish National Party. It has implications for here. It has implications for the UK. But anyway, as soon as that happens, we will switch over and you can hear the results. It's between three people, as you know, Kate Forbes, Ash Regan and Humza Yousaf. And basically it's between Kay Forbes and Humza Yousaf, with Yousaf in the last few days becoming the favourite, but Kate Forbes was the early front runner. But let's see, it seems to be very tight. Brendan Colvert. Brendan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joel.
You have this idea as well, mobile homes, trailer parks. Why?
It's been on my mind for a long time. I advocated it back as far as August 2017. Brought it to the attention of various people who have the ability to make it happen.
Okay.
And I got rejection everywhere, particularly from ministers for housing. They were the ones that were the fly in the ointment.
Oh, so you already have suggested it. You've written to departments and ministers and politicians. And did you get any reply?
It was enthusiasm. And then when it gets to the desk of the minister, all of a sudden, there's a change of attitude.
And what is the change?
My purpose would be to take the pressure off the market by putting people in suitable, comfortable homes.
Temporarily.
And being mobile, they can be changed to any place that would be a crisis, anywhere there might be a crisis. And
but the thing
it means that the children would have fairness and so on.
Yeah, but in fairness, Brendan, I have some experience of mobile homes in Ireland, and one thing they are not is mobile. They have wheels on them, but you couldn't pull them along the back of a Ford Ranger. They're not mobile.
If it is government policy, they can always make sure.
Now, just tell me what
the product that they want.
Okay, tell me what was the reaction, because you've written about this to government ministers and politicians. What reaction did you get? Did you get any detailed response?
Well, I got promises of cooperation and further investigation. It never happened. At one stage when Minister Moriku was Minister for Housing, three people died of exposure in the winter time within sight of the iron, and that didn't change his attitude.
But I'm saying, of all the people you wrote to and all the letters you sent, did you get any replies that were in detail explaining why the idea would not run?
Well, it was usually a kick to touch. Okay. But one particular person said that the green areas in Ireland have to be preserved. I recollect a time during the 39 to 45 emergency, I walked down Chesterfield Avenue, and on both sides of the road, there were big banks of turf to try and provide heat for people in Dublin. Only a temporary measure. You look at Phoenix Park today, it's a beautiful place. You can always change the areas you employ for temporary housing in mobile homes. There's no problem with that.
But you didn't get anyone saying we are going to set up or ask a specific committee to investigate it.
I'm in despair. It never happened.
And why do you think they'd be a good idea?
Well, everybody knows there's pressure on housing.
Yeah, we know that.
The demand is much higher than we're capable of providing.
Well, I'll put it this way, Brendan. Would you live in a mobile home?
I lived in a mobile home in the boroughs in Rosslare for a holiday on two occasions.
But it was a delightful experience. But it was a holiday.
Was a holiday in the holiday season. But from the point of view of insulation and so on, all of these things can easily be overcome.
Absolutely.
The Office of Public Works is well capable of making them comfortable for residents. No trouble.
Okay, Michael is still there. Anne is still there. Brendan is still there. Paul Newsome. Paul, good afternoon.
How are you, Joe?
Good. Your point, please.
Well, I mean, already there are hundreds of thousands of vacant concrete buildings around the country, which could be, you could use the same money that they want to hand to trailer parks or trailer trash parks. The government could use the same money to actually.
Why do you call them trailer trash parks?
Because that's how they're referred to in America.
No, that's how
they live in trailers.
No. That's how the people who, in some quarters, in some movies, that's how the people who live in them are referred to, which is very unfair.
That's what I'm talking about.
The people aren't trash. Stop it.
I know they're not, but the people who live in them in America are referred to as trailer trash.
By who?
No.
In movies or whatever.
Anyway, common knowledge. In movies
Keep going, Paul, yeah.
And that's one thing. I mean, you can travel. You talk about empty buildings. 1,000 yards from Croke Park in Dublin, there's a vacant Celtic Tiger unfinished apartment block that's still lying there with the rusted scaffolding around it.
Okay.
Hundreds of thousands of vacant buildings around the country, and they want a house. I lived in a luxurious caravan in the Yorkshire Dales for 8 months, and my memory of it is damp clothes, steam, cold, no room to put anything.
And when was that, Paul?
That was in the 70s.
The early
80s.
Have you been in any mobile homes in Corktown or Ballymoney or Tramore recently?
I've had no calls to be in any of them, Joe.
There's loads of people.
I'm
not making the suggestion. You're the one. It's 50 years.
Well, you're asking me.
Yeah, but I'm doing the questioning here. If you want to present Liveline, apply to D Forbes, and you can. I'm sure you have as much chance of getting as I have. Now it's 50 years.
Well, if they're going to pay me, you certainly have a go at it, Joe.
Yeah, 50 years since you. Since you lived in a mobile home, but they have changed since then.
It wasn't a mobile home, but it was a large caravan, John,
I told you. That's the difference. No, you didn't say
a
that.
A luxurious caravan at that, because it was owned by Mercedes.
Okay, and Michael.
It wasn't a nice experience.
Michael.
Joe, I did kind of, after talking to researcher Clara, I'm retired now, so I use my brain. The problem in Ireland is that when they were doing the latest document, which is Housing for All 2030, and they went through the whole lot, that was done by the Attorney General's Department. This is all Irish Times. And basically, the document they've produced is fantastic. I mean, they have made huge amount of stuff, which I haven't even read. I just checked on one thing. They completely ignored the whole concept of using mobile homes as living space on a temporary basis. And the thing is, there's nothing in there for that. They completely bypassed it. I would suggest, if anybody is listening, that the key legislation they want to look at is the 2013 UK Government Mobile Home Act. They have consolidated 20 years of hard-learned experience. They've created a whole strict thing, how to live quietly and safely in mobile home parks. They have different names for them. But it's basically a mobile home park, and it's a huge success. 300,000 people in England have transferred from inner city living to living outside. I would suggest now that I know I'm talking about, I mean, I've stayed in mobile homes and everywhere, but like the problem is you're better off. I'm actually kind of radical to a certain extent, but I'm only copying the American experience. You want to live in a mobile home trailer near a city, where you have education, facilities and work. I would be suggesting that you find a place in Dublin just as far as the line goes.
OK, let me bring Maya Prunty in. Maya.
Hello, Joe.
Your contribution, please.
Yeah, well, my experience was when the Kosovo people arrived in Ireland in 1999, I think it was.
OK.
And the old artillery barracks in Kildare had been closed in 1998.
Okay.
And the government made a big mobile home park in the old artillery barracks.
Okay. And how did that work out?
Several families of Cosfars moved into those mobile homes. I was the principal in the VEC school at the time, and we had quite a number of young people in school from there, and I visited that mobile home park.
Stay with us, Maya. I just want to go over to this press conference as the new SNP leader is set to be announced.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Back to Ireland now. Though I would remind people, all this week on BBC Radio 4, which is their main BBC radio channel, they have a whole series across every strand, from Moneybox to the Today programme to PM to the 1 o'clock to the World Tonight. They have a whole strand about the rental crisis in the UK and the homeless crisis in the UK and the building crisis in the UK and the lack of houses in the UK. So listen to it. It's so reminiscent of here. It is so reminiscent of here. Where's Caroline Crowley? Caroline, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Where did you live in a mobile home?
I lived in a mobile home in Pocatello, Idaho. It's in the southeast of Idaho, which is a Rocky Mountain state. And I spent a winter there from 1994 into 1995. I was in my 20s. And it was a very pleasant experience.
And all the questions that Paul Newsom was raising when he lived in them, they were damp, they were cold, damp clothes, they're second-class trailer. I don't know where the word trailer trash came in, but I'm taking it that he meant the conditions weren't great. We won't talk. I'm sure he wasn't referring to the people, but the conditions weren't great.
My experience was the complete opposite. Now, I was in my 20s. I was still in college in Ireland. So I was
okay.
I'd graduated. So, yeah, this was I'd immigrated and, you know, didn't have a lot of money, was in a low paying job. So I needed somewhere affordable. So this trailer park, it was a little bit on the outside of Pocatello, which is a very small city. It was more like, you know, it wasn't a caravan, it wasn't on wheels.
Okay.
These are like modular homes, and you see them being transported around America all the time. You see these large trucks on the highways, and you can see literally half a house is being transported. And that's, you know, trailer homes they're like modular. They can be just expanded like a regular home.
Okay.
But this was three bedrooms. It was owned by an elderly lady, and she rented out one room. She lived in one bedroom. I rented out one room, and there was a student in the local college who was renting the third room. Kitchen, you know, open plan kitchen, sitting room, the bathroom and the three bedrooms. You just came outside. There was parking outside of it. It snowed during the winter, so you'd have to shovel snow like everybody else. It was just like a really little kind of picket fence around it. So you had your own little yard space, and really well kept, well maintained, lovely neighbourhood. You know, it was a community.
And have you seen anything like that in Ireland, Caroline?
No, I haven't. No, not at all. I mean, I've rented. I mean, I rented for half my adult life, so I've rented an awful lot in Ireland as well, in cities and rural areas. But I've never come across anything like this. The only thing we seem to have that I've seen are either, you know, summer trailer parks, and of course, you know, we have to mention our own ethnic group in Ireland that have been using caravans to live in for a long time, the Irish Travellers.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, clearly people have lived in and raised families in Ireland in, you know, trailer-like conditions. So it certainly sounds like a great suggestion coming from your listeners.
And I don't know whether you ever came across a company called Roadmaster. They seem to be, and there's another company up north as well, which do fantastic mobile homes. They're modular homes, but they're ones that go into trailer parks. Now, Roadmaster, anyone look up their website, the holiday homes they land with on site, and they land on the back of a trailer, or as they're constructed on site, they're so impressive. But they've been in Irish holiday parks for years, and they've got a very good record. I'll go back to Maya Prunty. Maya, sorry for interrupting you there with the Scottish news. But when the mobile homes were in the artillery barracks in Kildare Town in 1998, how did they get on, do you know?
Well, it seemed to work out very well. They were big enough to accommodate one family I got to know quite well. There were two parents and three children. And they were perfectly happy in their mobile home. They were refugees, so they were allowed to work. And a lot of them worked in the area.
Well, the Ukrainians are allowed to work.
Yes.
So that's your right there, yeah.
And the young people then, as they progressed through school and got part-time jobs in the afternoons and weekends, and then worked, and then I can't remember exactly how long all that went on for, but I know, I think Liz O'Donnell was the minister that was looking after that end of things at the time, and I think when everything went calm in Kosovo, you know, they were paid, or they got some incentive to return home.
Okay.
And a lot of them went back, but then many of them subsequently came back again under their own steam.
And is it still there, Maya? Is it still in?
Oh, gosh, no, Joe.
It's gone, is
no,
it okay?
It was, I can't remember now, was it for 2 years maybe, or 3 years, or 1 year, until things settled down in Kosovo.
And you were the principal, did you tell us, in the VC school? And did the children come to the school, some of them?
Yes, yeah, several of the children did come to school.
And? How did that work out?
That worked out very well. But we got special hours for English classes for them, and they had no English when they came, but they fitted in very well, and they were great examples to our own children, because I remember Ramadan happened at the time of our Christmas party in school.
We're going back into Ramadan. Sorry, I was watching a great programme yesterday on RT Junior about children in school in Dublin preparing for Ramadan. But anyway, yeah, go ahead, Maya, sorry.
Yeah, but this happened, I think, the first year they were there. And our young students were amazed that here were youngsters of their own age not taking part in the party. Just spectators.
Yeah, and I was quite struck by the piece. I know Molly was the presenter, but I was very struck by the piece where all the children, only around 8 or 9, and they were asked, what were you looking forward to in Ramadan? And they were looking forward to the fasting. It was almost a sign of adulthood or whatever. Maya, I mentioned Roadmaster, another company that people are mentioning that build, they say, incredible homes, high quality, and the word mobile home probably is not doesn't doesn't uh, doesn't fully explain it. But Western Homes up in Coal Island in Northern Ireland apparently make fantastic modular homes, which qualify as mobile homes on a site. Therefore, they're not eligible for property tax in Ireland. Martin Kenny, I'll come to Martin after the break. Caroline, so do you think, given the image of mobile homes and trailer parks, and do you think they would be accepted in Ireland?
Well, holiday parks, they're in British Bay and in various places up in Donegal. I have seen them, and everybody who goes there seems happy with them. So I don't see why they wouldn't.
I'm still trying to find out. Maybe we'll ask the Department of Children, Health, Youth, etc. Will they consider? Obviously, they've considered every property, but would they consider a location, a premises on a mobile home site as eligible for this approved accommodation scheme of €800 plus a month? I think we'll ask them that. Okay, Caroline, good to meet you, Margaret, Maya Prunty also, and to Paul, and to Brendan, and to Michael O'Sullivan. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Liam, good afternoon. The mobile homes as an answer, are they eligible? I don't know the answer to that question yesterday. Are they eligible to apply for the €800 from the government? Go ahead, Liam, your point, please.
Yeah, of course they are, Joe. They're perfectly suitable.
But I don't know, are you answering my question? Are they eligible? I'm trying to find out.
They are eligible.
Oh, are they great? Why? Have you researched that?
Oh, no. I thought you meant were they suitable. Sorry. But they are. They are suitable. And as regards eligible, that's a matter for the politicians.
Well, it's a matter for the department.
They should confer with one another and perhaps confer with the country people instead of, being up there looking at one another, what will we do? The thing is that half of Ireland in the country years ago were reared in mobile homes, and I don't see any of them come out any the worse off for us. And they were perfectly suitable. And
But mobile homes have improved dramatically in the last 20, haven't they? The standard of them.
Oh, absolutely.
Heating, electric fires, Wi-Fi, air fryers, decks, grey heating indoors and outdoor. Very, very, very comfortable. A lot of them have a shed with a dryer, a washing machine, and a fridge freezer. So they're great. Orlet, but there is another side to it. Orlet, good afternoon. You're currently living in a mobile home. Go ahead, Orlet.
Hi, Joe. It's lovely to speak to you.
Likewise.
I'm currently living in a mobile home. Me and my partner have done about 3 winters in it now.
Okay. And where is it, Orlet?
It's in Leash, and it's in some of my parents' property.
Okay.
It's not ideal. It hasn't been.
It's not by choice.
Not by choice. It was out of desperation, out of needing somewhere to live during COVID, and we've done over 3 winters now, and like we had to put a lot of work into it to even do it up.
Okay. And did you buy it? Did you buy it new or?
No, we bought it for about 11,000. It was imported from the UK, pre-Brexit, obviously, so it's probably more expensive now. And we've had to put a lot of work into it, even though it comes with a winter pack. So we had a stove put into it. We lined it with insulation ourselves. And I suppose my point was just, Joe, like a lot of people are already living in mobile homes out of desperation, like young people, I suppose. And I'd lived abroad for about 14 years and was really excited about coming back to Ireland. And I love Ireland a lot, but we're going to emigrate again at the end of this year because you just can't move forward, because we can't stay living in a mobile home.
Yeah,
forever.
But have you any chance of getting planning permission to build where the mobile home is?
Yeah, we probably could, but we don't really want to commit to building. Maybe it's just a fear of commitment, we're not ready to do that yet. Like, we'd like to maybe live in some other parts of Ireland or experience that, but it's just not really an option, obviously. So we're off back to Australia. That's the plan.
And you lived in it for 3 winters. Obviously, refugees won't necessarily stay here. They're talking about, and the phrase used in the government scheme is temporary accommodation. What was it like living in it, say, for 6 months?
I think if you were in it, like, the toughest months are mainly from kind of October, November, till just coming up to the end of March. That's the toughest, you know, okay. And obviously because you end up with a lot of condensation and water inside, which can cause mould and damp. The main issue.
And how modern, what facilities did your mobile home have?
We've got like a shower, we've got obviously running water, we've got gas. We put in a wood burning stove so that we're not relying on gas all the time. It's fine. I mean, it's 40 meters square. That's as good as some apartments I've lived in London. You know, but it's me and my partner and our two pets. But if you want to, I think it's not forever. It's okay as a little stopgap.
I know that you're heading back to Australia. Okay, and you're doing that. Why?
Why? Because. Somewhere to live, Joe. You know, like, and it's crazy. I work in architecture and I'm constantly helping clients, build new houses. But I can't do my own. So, yeah, we've got to go, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Safe traveling, and I hope you
come
back. I hope your wishes, if they are to come back, that they come through very soon. Okay, Earl, I'd appreciate it. Thanks indeed for your call. And Nadine Maloney produced, and Ray Darcy's next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.